I'm Mike DiAgostino with Information Security Media Group, and right now I'm speaking with the company Cloakware and Robert Grapes. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you again. So, Robert, why don't we start off just to get our users acquainted with your company. Tell us a little bit about Cloakware and what you guys do.
Sure. Cloakware is involved in the privilege account management space. So, just a description of privilege accounts. Privilege accounts can be broken into two types. These run in the data center. These are accounts used by your network administrators, your security operations team, your IT auditors, and privilege accounts can be used by humans, right, to be able to connect to devices, operating systems, applications for the purposes of, you know, configuring devices, upgrading software. So they are privilege accounts, typically not the types of accounts used by end users. We also distinguish privilege accounts into the application-to-application accounts. So those accounts are known by your developers or embedding inside of scripts or applications. And what we're doing with our product is helping organizations automate the process of changing those IDs and passwords on a regular basis and releasing them under policy on demand to humans and at runtime to applications.
Okay. And now, you had already gone over this with me, but for our users, this is actually software-based.
Software-based product, yep.
Okay, and tell me, what are some advantages of a software-based product over, say, a hardware-based or appliance-based product?
Sure, well, it's really a packaging exercise. I mean, we can deliver our software on an appliance-based solution or a packaged 19-inch rack mount server if that's what they desire. But we deliver it as software, and the benefit of that is organizations can be deploying it onto their own equipment. When you think of the password authority product that we're talking about here, it's not a single physical server that it's deployed against. It can actually be deployed on any number of physical servers to provide organizations with whatever high availability or fault tolerance design that they desire. It can also be spread across geographies or multiple data centers and provide the failover mechanisms large organizations need for this type of critical application.
Okay. So the Cloakware Password Authority, you gave me a quick overview. Tell us how it works.
Sure. As I commented, there's two sort of recipients of these types of IDs and passwords. From a human perspective, it's really a browser-based application. They come in through the browser, they strongly authenticate themselves using tokens or X509 certificates or, you know, simple IDs and passwords, but they're coming into a web application. The web application, based on Tomcat and Apache, ties into a back-end database, and customers get to choose which database they're utilizing for the storage of these critical IDs and passwords. Through role-based access control mechanisms, grouping capabilities, we can restrict what types of IDs and passwords administrators have access to and the specific permissions they have to be able to view those passwords or administrate the entities on the password authority product itself. However, applications, too, need to be able to strongly authenticate at runtime to be able to gain access to the password they need to be able to connect into, say, databases or FTP servers or, you know, back-end data center applications, but do so in an unattended way. You're running a report, an annual report, at midnight on a Friday. You know, how does an application strongly authenticate itself to the point where the password authority can release that critical credential to the application?
Okay. Well, let's focus a bit on compliance. You know, compliance is something that every year we do our benchmark survey, and compliance turns out on bankinfosecurity.com. Compliance is the number one driver for implementing new technologies, or it's just top of mind. How does your product help with compliance?
Yeah, it's a great question. I continue to see compliance as a primary driver for the adoption of this type of technology, beyond common sense.
Yeah.
We've spent a lot of time and money and effort on the end user identity problem, getting users to change their passwords. Now we're seeing compliance really become a driver for organizations to start managing these privileged accounts as well. Of interest is the economy. The downturn in the economy, where organizations are, you know, unfortunately letting go some of their administrative staff, their support staff, their contract resources, it's become a driver to do more with less in terms of being able to automate process, which has typically been a very manually intensive process and error-ridden process of changing these critical accounts, again, under the auspices of audit demand. So through the automation process, we can alleviate a lot of the administrative challenge that organizations are facing today with less staff.
Sounds like a significant time saver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, when you're dealing with, say, prospects or even existing clients, when you're speaking with them about password management specifically, what do you think is like the biggest gap or the biggest issue that, whether it be a financial institution or a government agency, what are they having the most trouble with when it comes to password management?
That's a good question. Password management, well, it's a simple problem to understand, and I think that a lot of organizations have spent a lot of time on their perimeter efforts and their end-user efforts. I don't think a lot of organizations, while they recognize the problem, they haven't spent a lot of time understanding the exact scope and size of the problem. What we've come to learn through all our deployments is this challenge is about 3 to 5 times the size of the end-user problem. So if I have an organization of 80,000 employees, I may find that I have 500,000 of these types of privileged accounts on my network that need to fall under management. And now if you look at compliance, things like PCI, which are starting to dictate that you have unique IDs and passwords for every administrator connecting into the system, you've just multiplied your problem by the number of administrators in your environment. So this problem, it's not going away. It's been with us for a long, long time, and it's actually just getting bigger. So for organizations to gain, you know, a wide understanding of what this problem is, and then an understanding of how it can be solved through automation. Security is an enabler for automation. Mm. So if you're looking at security approaches to solving this particular problem, there are vendors out there and commercial solutions that will help these organizations address this exact challenge.
Okay. Let's speak about PCI compliance for a moment. You know, one of the vendors I just spoke with, well, first of all, I should back up Heartland Payment Systems. That was a huge topic on our site, bankinfosecurity.com, just recently, the breach, the massive data breach that they have. And there's been so much communication on our site about PCI compliance. Is it good for the industry? Is it bad for the industry? What does it mean to be PCI compliant? What we're hearing is that a lot of people are stating, yeah, PCI compliance is good, but it's really just measuring your state of compliance at one specific moment in time. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily what it means to be compliant. It needs to be ongoing, you know, at every point in time. How does your solution deal with that?
Yeah, so many avenues I can go down in that conversation. So any security is good security, and the efforts to drive for the implementation of security is good. So I applaud the folks at PCI for, you know, raising the issue and becoming very prescriptive on the mechanisms and the how. How do we solve this problem? And I think PCI is far more prescriptive than any other piece of legislation that I've seen.
Yeah.
So I applaud them. I mean, if you look at, you know, get rid of default passwords. Well, that's pretty simple, but you would be amazed at how many organizations have assigning unique IDs and passwords. You know, so there's many different aspects to PCI that I applaud, but they've been pragmatic in terms of the pace through which organizations can actually become compliant. And that's why you'll see the versions of PCI rolling out, and they'll get tougher and tougher, but purposely.
Yeah.
You know, to really continue to stretch organizations to put that effort forward to get better and better with their security. And I think another piece that you're starting to see where in the past, the QSAs, the auditors who were going through the PCI, is really sort of a checkbox thing. Did you do this? Did you do this? But what I'm starting to find the QSAs do now is show me. You know, rather than just asking the question and getting a check mark, show me. So they're becoming far more dogmatic in terms of, have you in fact done the things you need to do to be in fact compliant? Which again is good, but I think organizations, there's a bit of backlash in that there hasn't been a lot of changes in the actual specifications from PCI, but year on year, they're finding it much more difficult to comply.
Mm.
And it's because the QSAs are being challenged by the Visas and the MasterCards and the Discovers to be that much more dogmatic in terms of their diligence to the point where organizations are in fact doing and able to prove their efforts towards compliance.
Very good. Yep. Well, one more question before we go. For our users that couldn't make it out to the conference this year, can you leave them with a bit of advice or some words of wisdom?
Yeah. Privileged account management, it's a big issue. It's been with us for a long, long time. It's not an overnight fix. So really taking a phased approach, understanding, you know, either come at it from the administrative password side and tackle that problem first, deal with your highest privilege accounts, the most visible, the early wins, move into the A2A. I've had customers that have started with the A2A, the embedded password challenge first, because that's where they've been hit on their audit perspective. But I do see about 70% of my prospects dealing with the privileged administrator accounts. So again, step at a time, start small, you know, deal with your privileged administrator accounts, get your early wins, and continue to build from there.
Very good. Well, once again, Robert Grapes with Cloakware. Nice to speak with you, Robert.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, Mike.